Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on a magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. Been a full day. Travel day tomorrow as we head down to Biloxi to cover Mississippi State's twosome down in Biloxi. Bulldogs will play Old Dominion on Tuesday. We'll preview that game today. We'll probably even go ahead and talk a little bit about Nicholls State just because of the fact that I suspect that your Wednesday show will probably come Wednesday night after I get back from Biloxi. A lot going on down there. You know what I'm saying? But you never know. I may surprise you. But plan on that for being Wednesday night. If I can get it together Wednesday morning, we'll see. But a friend of mine, Brian Jones, is down there playing a show. And so I can't promise you that I'm going to get into bed at a decent hour on Tuesday night. So busy day, though. I had a chance to speak to both coaches of the teams that we're playing. If you are a Jeans Page subscriber, and you certainly should be, and you could be for just $1 for your first month, you can read what they had to say. Coach Fenwood from Old Dominion. Those guys are staying in Hattiesburg. Like, they're playing Southern Miss this weekend. And he just said, you know what, we're just going to stay here all week, and we're going to bus down for the game Tuesday and bus back instead of having to change hotels. That's always a good thing. Kind of unbeknownst to most people, Old Dominion is playing every game this year on the road. Remember, we went through some of that too, that great road trip, you know, that proved to be terrible for us back in 18. We only had to do it for a while. They're having to do it the whole year as they're constructing a new stadium. And so he said it's been fun to kind of get out on the road and just focus on baseball because they have no locker rooms. They have no baseball office space, none of that. It's kind of a pain, but it's means to an end. And then spoke to Coach Haring, of course, from Nicholls. And he was at LSU last year as their director of baseball ops. And so you can read what they had to say about their own teams and about your team. Yeah, just cost you $1 for the first month over Jeans Page. And you should already be a subscriber. But if you're not, that's content that you're going to get there. You're not going to get anywhere else. So, super cool. Happy to talk to those guys. Successful week last week for the Bulldogs. We talked about that last Monday. State needed to go 4-0. Well, we went 4-0. And so, here's the deal, too. There are some people out there, too, that they're never going to be happy. I mean, we could go all the way up to the College World Series, and they're still going to find fault. And so, we're going to ignore those voices, and we're going to focus on what is, not what may be. Not what once was. We're going to focus on where we are. Bulldogs are currently 11-4. I ran some numbers yesterday, too, that I think you may find of interest. Wrote that as a free column at Jean's Page yesterday. But just so you guys know, batting average year over year for Mississippi State through 15 games is up about 40 points. ERA is down. Runs generated are up. Runs allowed are down. Strikeouts are up slightly, but pretty much constant with what you had last year. And I would argue against a better schedule. You know, you've had, Troy, Southern Miss twice, and, of course, Arizona, Colorado State. All of those teams have been ranked at some point this year, if they're not currently ranked. And so I think we have a good club. Even though the record is identical to what it was year over year, this is a better team, in my estimation. still got to figure some things out. And we're going to take a look back at the weekend. We won't get too in-depth. And then we'll talk a little bit about the SEC men's tournament bracket, talk about the status of kind of where things stand, men's and women's basketball. Shout out to our softball team, winners of the first two games of the series. The final game of the series against Auburn is being played now. So we've already won the series, now going for the sweep against nationally ranked Auburn. We're nationally ranked too. So congratulations to those Bulldogs. And it's been interesting, too. Some people have kind of just started doing game threads over Gene's page to kind of help you keep up, you know. Appreciate our great community and people that kind of work hard to share their own interests and keep other Bulldog fans informed. But, yeah, looking forward to getting down to Biloxi. There are still tickets available through the Shuckers website. So don't pay more than face value until those are exhausted. Again, it takes you through Ticketmaster, and there's fees associated with all that stuff. But there are tickets still available. Some rumors out there that they weren't. There are. I checked before we did the show. So be sure and check those out. And it's always so great, too, for us to take the show on the road and go down to Biloxi, because you and I both know it's going to be 95% maroon down there. You guys on the Gulf Coast do an amazing job making the Diamond Dogs feel welcome. And Lamona said on Sunday, take a little extra time to take pictures and sign autographs for those youngsters and those fans down south that don't always get to Duty Noble. So we look forward to being your guest. I look forward to going down there and having some real seafood. Yeah, I've kind of got a policy. I don't eat seafood north of Highway 90. Just my policy, if I can help it. I'll go as far as Hattiesburg. That's about as far as I'll go. But even this far north, I just feel like I'm taking a chance. It's just my personal feelings. All those years living in Louisiana, kind of refined the palate a little bit. So you can have your freeze-fried shrimp. I'll just wait and get the real McCoy when I get down near the Gulf. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I have loved them from the very beginning. I said from the outset, this place is going to make it. Not just because they're part of a great company, the Eat With Us group that has served the Golden Triangle for so many years. They know how to feed folks. But the whole concept of Bulldog Burger Company just made sense to me. If you tell your kids, hey, do you want to go to Bulldog Burger Company? Be like, yeah, let's go. And one day they're going to get the Bulldog. One day they're going to get the Freshman 15. One day they're going to get the Sloppy Joe sliders, perhaps the Sweet Heat Chicken Sandwich, maybe the Onion Rings one trip, the French fries the next, the Chocolate Shake to go, the Nutella Shake to go. There's so many options for you and your family. And you know what? Maybe if you're going to let your kids eat that way and you say, you know what, Steve, I just don't feel like eating that hearty. That's cool. You can have that BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may like it fried. I know that's kind of sacrilegious. Down in South Mississippi to have grilled chicken when you have the option to get fried. But that's what I choose. What you choose is your business. You can find your own favorites at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. Don't get vain. Have the spring rolls. You're not good looking enough. I'm just telling you. There are very few of you that can make that claim, and some of you kind of make it as a pretender to the throne. We're getting older, kids, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to improve our looks, and you can do so with those spring rolls. How about that? Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Let's take a quick look back at game number one. Bulldogs take care of business. Pico really good. I think our fan base has kind of found a comfort level now. There was a lot of people kind of early on like, Steve, Pico, I just don't know. You know, you could kind of see this coming toward the end of last year as Pico really kind of got closer to 100%. Because he pitched sometimes last year, even though he was fully cleared. When you've had a major injury like that, there is the mental aspect of it. You've got to learn to kind of trust your surgically repaired limb or joint or whatever. And so it took him a little time. But Pico is living up to expectations and probably exceeding expectations for many of you. And, of course, there's that self-loathing segment of our fan base. Well, let's get an SEC play. Well, you know, we hadn't got there yet, you know. But I know this, Mississippi State's 4-0. When Pico Cohn starts this year, and three of those wins belong to him. Maybe you're unaware. And so, yeah, he's given us a winning effort every time out. Gave us a winning effort in the game. We got another decision, too. But kind of looking back here, we knew that Queens had a couple of decent starters, but it was going to be difficult for them to get through the order a couple times unscathed. We knew if we ever got in that bullpen, we're going to get some separation. I do like the fact that Chris Simonis managed these games the way that he did. Many of you are just like, hey, we want a mercy rule them. Guys, we're about to get an SEC play, and getting some other guys some work is a good thing. We started subbing pretty liberally in these games. And that's one of the things, too, I think that really makes for a happy clubhouse is you got a chance to play every day in Mississippi State. Every day. May not start, but you got a chance to get a lineup every single day at some point. But whether it's a defensive sub or it's a pinch hit situation, you got to show up at the ballpark every day expecting to play. You got to have your mind right. We've got a lot of depth. Lamont's trying to keep a lot of people happy, but it also the most important thing is move this program forward. And the best way to keep your depth is to ensure your depth gets to play some. I can assure you, those guys that are being pulled in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning when State is ahead considerably, they're happy to go cheer for their teammates. Happy to do it. And I love it. I do. And we were certainly not in this position last year. There were some games we'd go out there and we'd field 9, but it felt like we had filled 6, right? Because we had some guys really struggling at the plate. How many times did you see it last year? You get through a certain part of the order and you think, hey, this is going to be a dead inning for us. And a lot of times it was. This go-around, especially when you consider how proficient we've been in the lower third, we have the ability and at times the expectation to go out there and score almost every inning. Right? That's how you feel. That's how I feel. I think, hey, I always joke to Nemeth, this is a good inning to score right here. Let's look back. State gets one in the first, two in the second, and Pico's just dealing at this point. And after five complete, State is up 5-1. They get a couple there in the sixth. Kind of tighten things up a little bit. And from there, State, tacks on 4 more runs in the seventh and the eighth, wins the game 9-3. But, kind of looking back at a couple things here, I want to go back to the sixth here, So we get the K of Rivera, who I was impressed with him. I don't know how good a hitter he is. He's a guy that leads them in some offensive statistical categories, but I thought he played a pretty good shortstop. He looks pretty smooth out there. But we get him swinging. Then there's the walk to Aldifer. Then there's the single. Runner goes to third. So runner's on the corners here with less than 2 outs. And then Barber's still second. And so here we are. It's like 2 men in scoring position, and then they call a balk on Pico. Now, I've gone back and watched this, and unless there is something that happened before they go to ISO on Pico, this was not a balk. Lamontas comes out and argues it never goes anywhere, right? I mean, people are like, I don't understand why he's not fighting for our team. Well, he does, and then they go get together, and they cover their mouths, and they're like, hey, let's all just kind of stand here because there's nothing you can do or say. It's not a reviewable play. No umpire is going to admit that they were wrong. It's just true, and I know some good umpires out there, but in this situation, it's not like the crew chief's going to say, hey, listen, I thought we're a little premature with that. It's not going to happen. They're going to support each other, and maybe they should, but they got this call wrong, gifted them a run, then you get a ground out to third, and a run scores, and they followed up with a single. But, I mean, when you get 3 runners on base, there's a good chance somebody's going to score. And that's kind of what happened there. But, again, I don't fault Pico for any of that. And I thought he handled it like a champ in postgame. He goes, I hadn't seen it yet. We hadn't really talked about it. And maybe they have. But it's probably not his place to go out there and say that in postgame, But big game for Hunter Hines. And, guys, if we're going to go to Omaha, we need Hunter Hines to be good. We do. Hunter Hines goes 3-for-4 in the ballgame, scores 3 runs, drives in 3, also had a walk. So he reaches base 4 times. When you're getting that kind of production from a guy like that, lower in the order, It bodes well for the rest of the team. Reed Stallman, we elevated him to lead off. It's been kind of interesting up there with him. You know, he's been platooning some with Aaron Downs. You got to wonder if we're going to rethink that a little bit. More on that later. But your top two order hitters in the order in the Friday game go combined 0 for 9. Ace goes 2 for 5, also a couple strikeouts. Noah Sullivan goes 2 for 3, a couple of RBIs for him. Aaron Downs just 0 for 0 in the ballgame and actually scores a run. Nolan Stevens 1 for 5. Rice Highfield 1 for 3. And yes, Ross has got to get better behind the plate. That understood, he is our most athletic catcher, but he's got to be more consistent. We all know it. We all see it. I'm not going to beat Ross up. I'm a Ross fan. I've seen Ross do really well. But we all see it. And I thought Lamona said it best. I just said basically the same words to Nemeth in postgame on Sunday. I don't care if it's a wild pitch or a pass ball. We got to stop the ball from going to the backstop. So everybody in the battery has got to be better. Everybody. Period. Ross gets a lot of criticism for it, and he has to play better. But some of these, you just see the ball going back, and you think, hey, he's supposed to catch that. Guys, when he is set up outside looking for a fastball away, and we get crossed up and that ball comes inside, as fast as that thing is coming, it's going to the screen. May not be Ross's fault. It looks like it on TV. But there have been some times this year we've been a little bit crossed up. I'm not excusing some mistakes that Ross has made, but I'm just telling you that every time a ball goes to the screen, it's not on him. Gatlin Sanders. You know, we started four different second basemen this year, and Gat Sanders had a good weekend for us. And I think when we see right-handed pitching, you're going to see Gat. Because here's the thing, Gat's not going to make the spectacular play. You know, he's not going to Ozzie Smith it or Roberto Alomar it, and some of you guys are so young, you have no clue who I'm talking about. But Gowan's going to make the routine play and the above-average difficult play, right? He's not going to make that play ranging back into center field. But he's a very solid and steady infielder. And we've had some guys, obviously, that maybe have hit the ball a little better than Gatlin, but haven't defended as well. Dylan Cup goes 0 for 1. A lot of people are concerned about him. We do expect him to be back this week. That's the hope. Had that collision, of course, out there with Michael O'Brien. And, you know, somebody's got to take charge there. And I'll tell you, I wasn't on the field, so I don't hear who was calling it or whatever. But that is the center fielder's ball. Now, I also understand, too, that Dylan Cup is a guy that takes ownership of basically anything hidden in his range. Because he's an alpha, right? He wants to be able to make that play. And so perhaps some miscommunication there. Could have been a much worse situation, but it appears that it's just kind of a bruised situation. We do expect him to be okay. I look forward to seeing him this week. And if I'm Lamontas too, I may sit him all week until we get to Texas. You know, work him out in the cage, let him get some practice on Thursday. But, you know, if he's not 100% Tuesday and Wednesday, he doesn't need to play because we're going to need him against Texas. Lucas Buckner takes over and, you know, good defender in his own right. But we throw three pitchers in the ballgame. Pico goes 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 9 Ks, 2 walks. And also that stupid balk that wasn't a balk. Nate Williams, absolutely filthy. Told you guys about him. I even wrote a column about him. As we got into spring training, I was not expecting anything from him. Nothing. This guy is absolutely nails for us. Gave up 2 hits. One of those is the one that fell between Cup and O'Brien. That's it. And the other one was the ball that's pulled inside the bag at third. But 5 strikeouts, no walks. And then Lake Dotson comes in, looks about as good as he's ever looked. Works the ninth, 13 pitches. A couple of those punch outs. Got a fly out too. So State takes game one. No real issues at all in the game other than the Dylan Cup injury, right? You get out of this thing and you're like, hey, I just want to get a dub. You know, people are like, hey, well, I want a 10-run rule. Them. Yeah, I get it. We've had 4 this year. Maybe you've missed them. This time last year we had 1. Looking at game 2, and again, State strikes early. You know, we don't score in the first. However, we do get 2 in the second. They get 1 in the third, and then we come back 3 in the fourth, 4 in the sixth, 1 in the seventh. They score 1 garbage run there tonight. State wins this game 10-2. 14 hits for your Bulldog offense, just 3 for Queens. And the story of this game And there really, I guess, is twofold, right? I think the first thing is, if you're a Mississippi State fan, you've got to be extremely excited about what Ben Davis did on Saturday. Six innings pitch, one hit, one run, four Ks, two walks, and 11 groundouts. He worked through six innings of Division I baseball on 57 pitches. That dog will hunt. When you're averaging less than 10 pitches an inning, that's pretty impressive. Now, Ben was really good. But let's also acknowledge, too, Queens, not the best opponent. It'll be a lot different this weekend against Texas. But Ben's a guy that really works that super sinker really well in the zone. He's going to get a ton of ground balls. It's not something you see all the time. And he's a guy that can throw with strikes regularity. Ryan McPherson comes in, perfect inning for him. Mekhi Grant comes in, walks one, and then strikes out two. And this is a guy, too, it's filthy. You can kind of see he's starting kind of to figure the control thing out. We'd like to be able to extend him a little bit more, but that's an arm that we can trust. Duke Stone makes his Bulldog debut. Two hits, one run, and a strikeout. And I want to go back to the night because I want to defend this young guy a little bit, too. I think he has a very, very bright future at Mississippi State. He was a kid that was headed to Georgia. Things change. He ends up coming here. So to go back here, top of the ninth, we bring in Stone. He gets a ground out right back to him on a one. It's in an advantage count. He's 1-2 making him hit their pitch. They beat it in the ground. And then Barber triples to right field. Just kind of nuts, man. I mean, just kind of a nutty play, right? And I'm sure you've seen it. You know, it's pretty nuts when it's all said and done. They initially roll it a home run. It's off the top of the wall, which is not a home run. And give Michael O'Brien a lot of credit for trying to play a little beach ball there, too. If it had come off Nolan Stevens' glove, and it nearly did, we're talking inches away, it's an out. But the ball's probably not going to bounce that high off Nolan Stevens' glove. But it does hit the top of the wall, bounces back. They go review it. They say it's not a home run, it's a triple. And we end up having single up the middle, and he scores. I may have my notes crossed here. But anyway, to make a long story short, it's just kind of part of the deal. You know, this is a young guy that some weird things happen, right? It's kind of part of it. But, but again, this is a twofold story because Aaron Downs, born again hard, has a huge day. 3-for-3 in this ball game, scores three runs, drives in five, hits a couple tanks, and a double. How about that? Big, big numbers. And now all of a sudden you start thinking about, hey, what do we do about platoon, with Stallman? You laugh, what do we do, Kind of part of the deal. But again, you get Aaron Downs going, and again, that's just somebody else that you just kind of add to your offensive repertoire. And Downs was hot again on Sunday. And again, State striking early, one in the first, two in the four in the second. It's a 5-0 ball game after three. And then 6-7 after six. They get a run in the seventh. A couple cheap ones there in the ninth. State wins 9-3. Carson Ligon was good. He was. Now, some of that, too, is the competition that we played. Now, he said mechanically he went back to some things that he did in the fall. And just kind of felt more like himself. I just worry a little bit. The days that he can't spot up a change or the slider, people are going to sit dead red fastball. And even though that fastball has a lot of velo on it, it's not real dynamic. And that's what worries me. The fastball plays better with a three-pitch mix. He's got to be able to throw all three pitches for strikes. If he can't, it's going to be a walk-a-thon and batting practice. And that's not me being critical of Carson. That's just the reality of college baseball in the Southeastern Conference. When people know you can't throw the change of pace or the breaker for a strike, they're just going to sit there waiting for you to throw the heater because when you get behind in counts, at some points it's coming. Sawyer Reeves, good game for him. He's started the last couple ball games at short. He took just about all the reps with the Maroon team at short throughout the fall and the spring while Dylan Cup was on the mend. Reeves with two hits, a couple runs. And for the last 2 weeks, he's had some really good at-bats. He's looked a lot more as of late as he did in the fall and preseason. I don't know if it's just kind of, you know, wearing that uniform, being in that venue, making some mistakes, playing in games that really matter. And I mean really matter. Not just ones that are going to make the, you know, the page 10 of the Charleston Gazette. But, you know, when State's playing Southern Miss, that's a game that's going to be on the front of D1 baseball, right? These are games that matter. It takes a special young man to put on that MLRS cap and go out there and play games that matter and come out the other side of it with a level of confidence. And I think there was an acclimation period for Sawyer. I think he can still help us. Bryce Champs kind of gets off the schneid there. A couple of hits for him, a couple of RBIs as well. Bryce, a guy too that's kind of found a power stroke here a little bit as of late. Ace Reese, 1-for-4. Maybe he's cooling a bit. I thought he barreled a couple balls up really good yesterday. Noah Sullivan, 1-for-3. Garrick Frye gets a pinch hit, and just what does he do? Just laces a liner in the left to drive in a run. Hines goes 1-for-5 in the game. And again, Aaron Downs, 2-for-3. Three runs scored, a couple RBI, a couple solo home runs. Again, we did a little research too, and I don't know if we've been able to find anything where somebody's gotten multiple home runs on back-to-back days in a Mississippi State uniform. I'm sure at some point it probably happened, but we committed a little time to it and couldn't find it. Gus Sanders, again, 1-for-3, and you start thinking, man, if I can get 1-for-3 from him every ball game and then have him play clean defense, that makes good sense to me. Ross Highfield was 2-for-4 in the ball game as well. Dane Burns, I thought, was good. Came out a little bit shaky to start, had to walk, and then went to work. Got out of that inning just on 10 pitches. Kevin Minnell. See, I knew I had my notes wrong. This is the Kevin Minnell thing where that ball goes off the wall. My mistake. I knew it when I said it. It didn't feel right. My mistake. But Kevin Minnell, second outing for him, gave up a couple of hits, and he's a guy we think will be able to help us. And Cade O'Leary makes his Bulldog debut there. A couple hits, a couple runs. He's had a little trouble locating the breaking ball. But, you know, we feel like he's going to be able to help us too. And so Mississippi State now, 11-4, which is the identical record to what we had last year. I want to look inside some numbers, though, before we move on here, before we kind of look ahead to Old Dominion. Because I don't know that some people are paying attention. I mean, that's what I'm here for, to educate, entertain, and inform. But this team, as a team right now, last year we hit 292. We're hitting 333 right now, through 15 games. Same period. And again, I think probably against better competition, we're in 333. Guys, we're getting it. That's at least a hit an inning, right? You see how that works out. Throwing a couple walks there. And again, it gives you an opportunity to score with greater regularity. Noah Sullivan currently leading the team with a 426 batting average. He's already got 47 at-bats this year. That's pretty nuts, right? 17 hits, leads a team. And this is a guy from USC Upstate, and some of you, 20 hits, excuse me, 17 runs. Some of you, not going to name any names, but some of you, when he committed, you're like, I don't understand. Why aren't we going out getting the SEC guys? And I said it then, I'll say it now. I don't want anybody to cast off for another SEC program. Give me the ascending player. Noah Sullivan was the ascending player. And now all of a sudden he shows up here and is leading this team with 20 hits, also has three home runs to go along with 18 RBI. Of course, some of that's kind of the nature of where he hits in the order. But he's second on the team and runs batted in. Aaron Downs, again, born again hard. He's appeared in 14 games, started just 8, and leads a team with 7 home runs. And is third on the team in RBI with 16. In just 30 at-bats, he has half the at-bats of Ace Reese, who has been really good for us. And he's got more home runs and 4 less RBI. That's getting it done. Nolan Stevens, a guy that people are like, Steve, I don't know. Why are we just saying he's going to be the right fielder? And I admit, the last 2 weeks of spring training, he wasn't great. He's got it going now, though. Hitting 375, 15 hits and 40 at-bats, 4 tanks, 11 ribbies. He hit a tank last year down in Biloxi. Maybe you've forgotten. And here's Ace Reese, a guy that I still believe is going to be very much in the contention for all SEC when this thing is said and done. 60 at-bats, 20 hits. Six tanks, 20 ribbies. His 20 ribbies leads a team. And there's Bryce Chancellor, 28. And so among the regulars, you're like, and I don't want to miss this either. Dylan Cope is hitting 290. That was the discussion about him before he came to school, was, you know, the hit tool just sitting there. Now he's hitting 290. He was just starting to get it going last year when he got hurt. So he and Jake Gautreau have done some work. Missed a couple of games, but again, hitting 290. And you feel like if he'd played over the weekend, maybe it's a little bit higher. But guys, if we're going to get 280, 290 out of Dylan Cope, out of the nine hole, not to mention he leads us in walks. So the on-base percentage is outstanding. His on-base percentage out of the nine hole is .551. So about half the time, your leadoff hitter is getting to hit with a man on board and a pitcher in the stretch. That is good roster composition. Hunter Hines hitting .278. So among the regulars, and there's a few guys too that hadn't played as many games. I wanted to point this out, and I mentioned this in the article. So we're talking down the Hines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Top 7 hitters that have at least 13 starts. Aaron Downs, Nolan Stevens, Bryce Chance, Dylan Cope, Hunter Hines. So 5 of the 7 top hitters with at least 13 starts are returning players. That's been one of the criticisms of the Lemonis critics, one of their talking points. Nobody ever develops here. Nobody gets better here. It's always about the portal guys. We're not developing players. Well, I understand it's a relatively small sample size. But the bulk of the work being done here hitting-wise are your returning players. And you go out there and you supplement where you're a little bit deficient. Of course, we pretty much had to build a new nine after last year. But you can't just be so reliant on portal players to give you an identity. You've got to have consistency in roster management to build this thing up. You've got to have a core group that you're adding to. And there were a lot of people that were worried about, hey, what we're returning is not enough. But everybody is benefiting from that now. Important to understand. And some of the guys, too, a little farther down, like we mentioned Gatlin Sanders, played in 6 games, started 4, hitting .462. Gehrig Fry played in 11 games, started 5, hitting .480. Guys, I mean, we're getting it done. Now, we still got some work to do, for sure. And we're going to try it on for size pretty early. But before we get to Texas, let's take a quick look at Old Dominion and Nichols. And really enjoy talking to those coaches. I've enjoyed that tremendously, being able to kind of talk with those coaches, kind of get a feel for their team and how they feel about ours. Old Dominion, 4-9 this year. And again, as I mentioned, they're playing every game on the road. It's tough, man. It's brutal. It really is. They open up getting swept by Georgia Tech. All those games, for the most part, competitive. They lose the Friday night game 3-2, lose 7-3, and then 7-4. So games are competitive. They go to Charlotte, and they get 2 of 3 and nearly swept Charlotte in Charlotte. They lose the Friday night game 10-9 and 11, and then take down Charlotte 4-2 and 7-6. The one midweek game they played so far has been at East Carolina, and they used kind of a Johnny Holstaff approach. They had 9 pitchers throw about an inning apiece. They lose that game 8-2. This past weekend, 2 weekends ago, they played in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, one of those kind of made get-together, round-robin type deals. They lose to St. Bonaventure 7-4, lose to UT Martin, and bounce back to beat the host Blue Raiders 5-3 on Sunday. No midweek game last week, but they head to Auburn. End the game Friday, ends up losing, and then they win the game Saturday 11-9, and then Sunday lose 7-3. But again, on the road in the SEC, fairly competitive, right? I mean, you go into an SEC venue and you take a game, and I can tell you, even though Auburn's ranked, there's nobody at Auburn that was happy about that loss on Saturday. But again, 4-9, after the Monarchs play us again. They'll head up to Southern Miss to begin Sun Belt Conference play. But let's just kind of dig inside some numbers here with them, just to kind of get you aware. A free article earlier today, kind of previewing the pitching matchups. We keep you up to date on everything over at Gene's page. A lot of stuff we put behind the paywall, but a lot of our game coverage obviously is free, and kind of previewing games for the most part also free. They're going to throw Nick Sulpizio, right-hander, sophomore, has appeared in three games, all in relief this year. He has a 0-1 record, 5.06 is the ERA. And we will have our scouting report up on him tomorrow. Probably we'll do this free in a midweek, I think, and then we'll do weekends during SEC play. We're going to make that a VIP feature. A lot of good feedback on that, too. Sulpizio, 5.1 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 6 walks, 5 strikeouts, has allowed a double and a home run. Opponents are hitting just .222 against him. Coach has said he's just not comfortable in the bullpen. They think eventually he can kind of transition to a Friday night guy, and they're going to do it by kind of by committee. They're thinking let him start this Tuesday and next Tuesday and then move him to Friday basically as an opener. It's a guy I think that has a lot of talent. Just things just have not gone well for him in the bullpen. Last week they threw, back against East Carolina, they threw Frankie Wright, who was 11.57 ERA. This staff is not turned in good numbers. ERA of 6.21. And, just kind of part of the deal. They've allowed 14 tanks so far, too. Opponents are hitting .256 against them in the staff. But, again, when you look at the numbers, especially with relievers, it's really been an adventure for them. On the batting side of things, among regulars, they have one guy hitting above .300. Teron Hammond is a little bit farther back. He has played some, but he's hitting about .381, but he's only got about 21 at-bats. But Zach Light leads the team, .310, and then Kanan Jorge, .295. But as a team, they are really struggling, .242 as a team. And now you're about to go out and face Justin Parker's bunch. You know, what's incredible, too, is it's almost a 35% strikeout ratio. Yeah, let that sit in with you for a little bit. 151 strikeouts and 438 at-bats. So it's basically a strikeout per, a little bit over a strikeout per. So we ought to be able to go out there with Evan Sierra and throw strikes. Bigger ballpark should be a good opportunity for him to go out there. And, of course, with us having five games this week, I mean, I think Sierra is a great option for us. We'll see what we do with Pruitt. Maybe we throw him on Wednesday against Nicholls State. Speaking of the Colonels, let's switch over and kind of give you a little bit of a preview with them. Again, Coach Haring, great guy, man. These guys are great. You know, and it's interesting, too. He told me his Wednesday starter, but he goes, you know what? He goes, just kind of let's wait and see what happens on Tuesday, because if we have a chance to win that game on Tuesday, I may have to use him. And that could really open up some more opportunities. But what's interesting, this Nicholls State team, they get off to a good start. They take 2 of 3 from Northern Illinois to open the season. And then they lose to Omaha. And, of course, Omaha was kind of making their Louisiana tour. They played Nicholls in the midweek and then went and played LSU on the weekend. Won a game at Nicholls and then won one at LSU. And then, okay, so you're 2-2. You're feeling pretty good about life. Then you go off and you sweep Arkansas Little Rock. And all three games, fairly competitive. And you found a way to get it done. Those are games that build mental toughness. And so now all of a sudden as you get ready to go play LSU, you're 5-2. And LSU mercy rules them at Alex Box 13-3. And that started a 7-game losing streak. They dropped at home to Tulane. They're swept over the weekend, which was conference play by McNeese. They lose a pair at Louisiana Tech. They don't score in either game. They get beat 19-0 and 10-0. And then this past weekend, they sweep Texas A&M Corpus Christi, which is also Southland conference play. So they're down 3-3 in their conference. Now, Tuesday night, they're going to be at Tulane. And after that game, they'll mosey on up to Biloxi, spend the night, and get ready to play your Bulldogs. And then from there, they will head to Edinburg, Texas, to play Texas Rio Grande Valley in another Southland Conference series. So they're already in conference play. But it's been quite the adventure. They're 8-9, but it's so interesting. Again, you put a decent winning streak together, and then it's like you couldn't score. And looking at this team, statistically, Carson Urban's been really good. And he's about a 5'9", 170-pound kid that transferred in from Utah Tech. He is from St. George, Utah, which is the same place that Coach Haring is from originally. So clearly working some old connections there to get him in. But the strikeout numbers, even for their leading hitter, are bad. He's hitting 358, but in 53 at-bats, he struck out 17 times. That's not going to get it done. And that is second highest on the team. Fisher Ingersoll's hitting .140, starting 13 games. He's got 26 Ks. Yeah, but as a team, they're hitting .240. So these are two offenses that we're going to face that are very challenged to put the ball in play. And to be fair, you know, Old Dominion has played a more difficult schedule, obviously. You know, they've played a road series at Georgia Tech, a road series at Charlotte, and now a road series at Auburn. And so they've played better competition, and the numbers just aren't there. And then you look at this group from Nicholls State, they outside of LSU, they haven't really played anybody, and they're still struggling to put the ball in play. You never know how these things are going to break loose, but if we go out there and throw strikes on Tuesday and Wednesday, we should win both of these games. Not to mention, midweek pitching for both of these teams has been an adventure. Coach Haring kind of mentioned as much to me. He said midweeks are going to be tough on us, especially this week with a double midweek. That's important to understand. But, you know, hey, we can go out there and stink up the ballpark if we want to. You remember last year, and we go out there and drop a fly ball and then open the floodgates and lose a game that we shouldn't have lost. And, again, one of those games, too, that mattered in the end of it. I mean, it's like there's some people that say midweeks don't matter. Yes, they do. Yes, they do, because that's the difference between us hosting last year and not hosting. And listen, we've had some good success down in Biloxi. We expect to kind of carry that forward this week. And again, need you guys to come out there, but we're going to need all hands on deck. Everybody that's not going to Nashville for the SEC Men's Tournament, we need you to be at Duty Noble Field. And hopefully we're still playing basketball by then too. I hope that you have a choice to make. But South Alabama beats us last year 6-5. Remember, and that got a little bit contentious, you know, and then we had to walk off UNO in 11. You know, both of those games last year were kind of nip and tuck. I just don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think we're a better club. I think we're playing better. I think we have a better sense of ourselves. I think we have veteran leadership on this team and enough leaders where if one guy kind of has a difficult week, the team doesn't go with him. But I look forward to being down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and being with all of you. And enjoying our time down there. It's something that I hope we continue to do. There's some talk about maybe next year we only play one game down there. I hope we do two. But maybe we do it earlier in the year. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we do it before the week we get an SEC play. Maybe we play two and then we schedule like Mississippi School of Math and Science for that final weekend series before SEC play. You know what I'm saying? That just makes sense to me. You know, if we're going to have a throwaway series where we're just trying to, like, you know, play get rental wins, then let's play the two games in Biloxi, like, the week before that. To me, that makes better sense. And there's so many people down there that love to see us come and come be a part of things. And I love being on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I do. I love it. And every time we go down there, you folks treat us so incredibly well. Everybody that I run into down there, whether I'm staying at the casino or eating at the casino or whatever, or going to see a show, I have so many of you to come up and say, hey, Steve, why don't you come sit with us? I mean, there's so much hospitality down there. I love it. I know our team loves it. Our coaches love it. And it's something that I hope that we continue to do. All right, time for our close with Blair, player of the weekend. I don't think there's any question that it has to be a pretty obvious name. But let me give you Blair's information first. Blair Chandler is our friend in the mortgage industry. If you are looking to purchase a home, I don't know, refi a home, I don't know what your needs are, only you do. Make an adult decision and stick with a winner. Blair Chandler, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. We've had several Boneyard listeners close with Blair. Number one, I admire that because I like to keep business within the Bulldog family when we can. But Blair is an equal opportunity lender. You can cheer for another team. I know we have fans of other schools that listen to this show. But Blair can take care of you. What are you looking for? Your first home, your next home, or your retirement home? Look no further than Blair Chandler. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. Make the right decision. Choose closewithblair.com. Okay, we had a suggestion. I was working on something else, and I forgot that I had somebody hit me up. I don't think we've done this band. And my son, Ani, is a huge fan. Huge. And I first learned of this band on Octane, Sirius XM Octane, like so many of you. I get my new music there. I'm not just a person that is stuck in the 1980s. You know, I dress like it's the 1990s, but nevertheless, I digress. But I love this band. I love the mystery kind of behind them, too. You know, they kind of are pulling off some kind of Kiss and Slipknot's act where the music is first. There is some image, obviously, but they're not kind of revealing their identities. From across the pond in England, a band that really kind of got going and nobody really knew what was kind of happening. And this is a band, too, that there's some heavy stuff. There is some, I don't know, maybe even kind of Depeche Mode with an edge type stuff. You can definitely tell this is a band that has some very eclectic influences. And so I share that with you because the catalog is very diverse. But there is, again, an edge to it. We're talking about the band Sleep Token. And I love these guys. I do. I think Take Me Back to Eden is an absolute masterpiece of modern music. It's one of those albums you can just kind of put on and let it go. No skips on the album. But so just three albums so far, but I think there's more than enough for us to put a quality top 10 list together. So here it is. Number 10, as we get this thing started, a little different track from them. And this is off, let's see here. Let's go back a little bit too. This is back on the album Sundowning. They released a, maybe I'm wrong here. I am wrong. This is off Take Me Back to Eden. Yes. I'm sorry, but it's a deeper cut. And so I think it gives it a little bit of credibility because it was never released as a single. But it's an acronym. It's DYWTYLM. Right? Can you figure it out? It's basically, he's like, you know, do you want to love me? Basically, it's what it's about. And how many of us have kind of been in those situations before where maybe somebody is a little bit hesitant to make a bit of a commitment, even if it's a short-term commitment? And a lot of people are scared to say the big L word. And sometimes you kind of got to pull it out of them, right? We all know where this thing is going. So let's get the show on the road. All right, number nine. Like this one a lot, too. This is, again, another one that has had some airplay. And it's off the second album, This Place Will Become Your Tomb. It sounds a little morbid, but it's really more of a metaphor. It's a track called The Love You Want. And I hope it's what you all are receiving these days, even though odds are certainly against that. Now, we're going to stick with this album for our number eight track. And this is one of those, it just kind of feels like a vibe, as the kids say, right? There's a rock edge to it, but there's just kind of this undercurrent of R&B almost. But it's Alkaline. Lyrical content where these guys is a little all over the place. It's some of it's very profound, and some of it, you know, you're not quite sure what to make of it. All right, number seven. Like this song a lot, and this is again one of those songs that kind of got them going. When this new album came out, a lot of people were like, "Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what to make of these guys. Where are they going?" The lead track off "Take Me Back to Eden" is a great track called "Chokehold," and that's your number seven track. Dig that one a lot. Now, sticking with "Take Me Back to Eden," it's the fourth track on the album, and there are several tracks from that album on my list because it is easily my favorite album from Sleep Token. Your number six track is Aqua Regia. I think that's how you pronounce it, R-E-G-I-A. Aqua Regia, Regia. Dig that one a lot, too. I think you'll like that one. It's kind of like a modern-day composition, again, of modern music. All right, number five. I believe this was, it was a track called Jaws that I heard first, but I think this is the first track. When I first heard this one, I said, you know, this band probably has a little more substance to them than some other bands do, and it's a song that was all over Octane, and it's called The Offering. Now, this one is a little more up-tempo. It's also one that'll kind of get you, your heart going a little bit, but it's one that I think makes... It makes a real statement. All right, number four. Dig this one a lot, too. Again, one of the more rocking tracks. It's called Hypnosis. And I don't know if you can actually be hypnotized by listening to this track, but there is definitely something within this one that kind of makes it stand apart from some of the other tracks on this album. This Place Will Become Your Tomb. The title track from the latest album, Take Me Back to Eden, is your number three track. Absolutely love this one. And again, the whole album from start to finish just kind of does it for me. There's a lot of albums out there. There's just like a couple of high points, and then I kind of, the rest of it feels like filler. Not on this album. You can tell these guys are legit. Number two, and I could make an argument some days this is my favorite track from them. And our last two are also going to be on Take Me Back to Eden. But I love this song. And I have shared this with other people that listen to music from other genres. Now, this is one of those songs that is going to give the speakers in your car a workout because it starts out with this kind of ethereal vibe to it. And it's got a little bit of a R&B bass line to it. And even the vocal delivery kind of sounds that way. And you know, by the end of the song, we're absolutely rocking, right? And then it fades back out, kind of to the intro. It's a track called Granite. And I love the lyric. You know, it says, I was more than just somebody in your passenger seat. You were more than just somebody I was destined to meet. Love the track. Absolutely love it. But number one for me, and I think most people would agree, probably the best track on this album and any album that has been released so far from Sleep Token is a track called The Summoning. And again, this is one that rocks the whole way through, and then it kind of has a little bit of an R&B breakdown late. And so this is not just limited rock music fans. I think you're a person, if you dislike good music, and you like music that's kind of unlike other things, I think Sleep Token may be the band for you. I love these guys, and many of you do as well. I've mentioned them before on the show, and every time that I do, we get a real reaction. There are a few bands out there these days among the new blood that kind of scratch the itch for me. Sleep Token, Bad Omens, both of those bands really kind of give me some encouragement about where music is headed. And I like, you know, a lot of the modern music, some of it's kind of overproduced, but I like what Bad Omens is doing because those guys can really sing. And Sleep Token, again, a little different. You know, they've kind of made their own lane. I don't see them as kind of a scene band. There's a lot of bands right now. It's almost like the late 80s in many respects because everybody is just kind of mimicking each other. And I think Sleep Token and Bad Omens kind of stands apart from many of their contemporaries. So wanted to give those guys a shout out on the show today. One of the best drummers in the game right now, two. I think you'll enjoy him. No clue what his name is. And if you've ever watched those Drumeo videos on Reels, he's been featured on that too. He's a phenomenal performer. And I love everything they've done so far. And looking forward to some new music from Sleep Token, hopefully later this year. I don't recall seeing an announcement from those guys. about new music, but there's always rumors, you know, because these days, you know, people don't just wait to release a full album. You know, a lot of times people will just kind of release a single or two to stay relevant. But these guys are legit. And been out there now about 10 years, kind of making things happen. And, you know, it's been almost 2 years since Take Me Back to Eden was released. But you can find so many of these live performances out there. You know, and again, I think them, I mentioned Bad Omens. I think Architects is another band. The Architects that are, not the George Costanza Architects, but I think it's one of those deals where there is some new blood that is kind of taking music in a different direction, if that makes sense. And, you know, they wear these masks and things like that, but there's more to them than just this mysterious image. Pretty significant stuff. And, you know, they've been now with RCA Records now for a year. We've had some experience with that. But you kind of unbeknownst to many of you, just last year, Take Me Back to Eden won Best Album at the Heavy Music Awards. And then Billboard Music Awards named them a finalist for Top Hard Rock Album. So this is a band that is kind of achieving some notoriety. And I think a band that you're going to have a lot of fun with. And it's so interesting, too. I told you they obscured their identities. The lead singer's name is Vessel. The drummer is 2. The bass guitar player is 3. The guitar player is 4. And then there's a backing vocalist named Aspera. So it's a 5-piece, but nobody really knows who they are. And I like that aspect of it. You know, Ghost did that for a while. And of course, Ghost changing lead singers and just released a new single and a new album coming out later this year. So cool new music for those of you that enjoy modern music. And as always, thanks to Close with Blair for sponsoring our Top 10 for so many years. But now Top 10 list is sponsored by Kalito Guitars. And you know, I've had some great feedback already from people that went and browsed their website. And so I want to make sure that you guys kind of understand where to go and know what to expect with Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars, Kalido Guitars, based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. So electric, acoustic, and classical guitars. So no matter what type of player you have, no matter what skill level, they've got a guitar that fits you. And maybe you bought that pawn shop guitar for your kid, you kind of figured it out, and now it's time for a real instrument, right? You can get a high-quality instrument from Kalido Guitars. Premium sound woods that include spruce, cypress, mahogany, rosewood. It is a superb fit and finish, and this is a company that is owned and operated by Mississippi State people. How cool is that? They can offer great recommendations. Incredible, exemplary customer service before and after the sale. They're not just going to sell you a guitar and then stop returning your calls. There's integrity with these folks. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a beginner or even a professional. You can get exactly what you're looking for. That's high-quality instruments, strings, cases, gig bags, everything. So visit them at KalidoGuitars.com or call 979-297-4733. And here's the thing, too. Being a Boneyard listener, you can buy a guitar at a discount. Promo code BSR. That also gets you free shipping and no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, 5% of your purchase is donated to Bulldog Initiative /Bulldog X1's Fund. So not only are you getting a high-quality instrument from Mississippi State people, you're also helping Mississippi State. There are a lot of people out there vying for your business, but I guarantee you this, you're not going to go in some of these old guitar shops and they're going to write a check to Mississippi State just because you walked in the door. That's what you're going to get with Kalido Guitars. Again, KalidoGuitars.com. Our next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We have for a long time. The best place to find Mississippi State merchandise in and on Universe. We encourage you to go by and procure some new Mississippi State merch from them. See their smiling faces. I get a hug every time I go in there, whether I buy anything or not. But maybe that's just me. Maybe it's just me. I don't think it is, but maybe it is. Maybe it's just me. But the lovely, talented Susie always hugs me when I go in there. Always, always, always. And I love seeing the same familiar faces. It always is a good, you know, sign, right? A lot of times you go in a place and it's like, hey, there's new faces every time I go. That tells me maybe there's a management problem. Not the case at Campus Bookmart. Those people are institutions, man. They love working there. They love working for you. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Bondurant listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. You know what it is, BSR, Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Those diploma frames, you need to make a move sooner rather than later. But also, too, it's about to warm up a little bit. And maybe it's time to shed the hoodie and get some cool quarter zips, maybe some button-ups, and always great T-shirts. Everything you need Mississippi State merchandising-wise available at Campus Bookmart. All right, let's talk a little bit about basketball. And many of you are kind of like me. It's like, you know what, I don't really know what to say sometimes because, yes, I have been disappointed at times, but I still believe this team is capable of doing some pretty special things. And I don't think that we've deluded ourselves into that either. I want to congratulate Josh Hubbard for his second consecutive Howell Trophy Award. How cool is that? I think I saw the graphic, 7 of the last 8. Bulldogs. Also, Josh Hubbard and Cam Matthews both collect all SEC accolades. Hubbard, a second team pick, and Cam Matthews on the all SEC defensive team. Pretty nifty. Yeah. So, congratulations to both of those guys. And we're going to need them both to play at their full potential as we get into the postseason. And as you guys know, we lose on the road at Arkansas. I've been worried about that game for weeks, and we still had every opportunity to win that game. Again, just you know, one of those things, we just couldn't quite get it done. We're down 1 point at the break, and how many times have we seen that, right? It's like you got to find a way to close a half. And we didn't really close it strong, but it never felt like Arkansas was in control of this game. There were times that it felt like we were going to kind of, you know, outpace them a little bit. You know, you kind of nurse this 4 to 6 point lead along, and you think, hey, you know, we're good. Next thing you know, they go back in front by 3 or 4. State comes back. And it's a kind of a battle to the finish there, like who's going to get into the locker room with the advantage. What turns out to be Arkansas is they make 2 free throws. DJ Wagner makes 2 free throws. 5 seconds left. We actually get a shot off, and Hubbard nearly makes it. And it seems like it seemed insignificant at the time, but you lose by 1, right? Every play matters in these games. But, you know, State, even with those guys, 48-48, we had a shot at the end, and we miss. That's the game. But you're looking back here at the team numbers here, you know, State with 19 points off turnovers. Arkansas just 4. When you don't turn it over, that's typically what happens. We only turn the ball over twice and lose. Second chance points, they outscore us by 2, 14-12. 31 apiece off the bench. You know, it's so interesting. You know, you start working through this. We had 38 points in the paint. They had 42. We had 18 on the break. They had 6. You know, a lot of lead changes in this game. We actually made 1 more basket than they did in the game. We also shot it 17 more times. It's crazy. It's like you look at these numbers and you think, you know, 1 basket here, 1 free throw there. We win the game. And it was an important game for us. You know, and like I'm not even going to waste time looking at seed lines right now because so much changes once we get into the tournament. But you're kind of looking back at it. Josh Hubbard, 17 points. Cam Matthews with 13. And it's good to see Cam do some good things around the rim. A lot of good finishes for Cam. Riley Kugel with 12. R.J. Melendez with 10. Michael Nwoko with 9. Claude O'Harris off the bench with 18. He was 4 of 9 from beyond the arc to lead us there. But you know, kind of is what it is. Keyshawn Murphy, again, just kind of flying under the radar, doing big things for Mississippi State. You know, 13 points in just 18 minutes. Pretty impressive. Sean Jones did not score, but played a really good defense for us in 21 minutes of action, 0 of 2 from the floor. Both of those were 3-point baskets. And so now we get ready to go play the SEC men's tournament. That's what's next for us. And we wanted to kind of make that tournament kind of inconsequential to us, but I think we have made it mean a little bit more because we really want to play our ways into a better – and I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be in the 11 – I'd rather be an 11 seed than play the 8-9 game because I believe we're capable of beating a 6 seed. That's how I see it. I want to get out of the first weekend of the tournament. So Bulldogs in action Wednesday evening against LSU. And again, probably another good reason for us to kind of wait and do the show Wednesday night after I get home. It'll be late, but you know, give us a chance to talk about the basketball game and the baseball game. So again, that's kind of what we're leaning towards doing the show Wednesday night. But let's take a look at the SEC bracket here. And I saw a thread, and there's a part of me that wants to agree. And there's a part of me, too, that and maybe it's because I don't want to let go of my belief in this team. Some people said, I think we may have overachieved this year. I don't think so. I think we've slightly underachieved when it's all said and done. I mean, if I told you at the beginning of the year we were going to go 8-10, you wouldn't have believed it. And had we gone 9-9, you'd say, okay, well, that's okay, considering the year. You go 10-8, you'd be like, hey, yeah, that's about what I'd expect. We expected to have a winning record in conference. We finished a couple games under 500. So I think we've slightly underachieved, slightly. Not to say I'm disappointed in the team, disappointed in the coaching staff, but I'm disappointed in some of the results. And, you know, that's going to happen on the road, right? I mean, you're going to have some nip and tuck games. And unfortunately, a lot of those games went against us. So let's take a look at the SEC tournament bracket. This is a really fun part of the year for everybody, as you guys are well aware. And everybody gets to go this year. So we're going to open up Wednesday. We're playing game number 3. The morning, I say morning, starts at noon. South Carolina and Arkansas. I'm kind of interested to see what the South Carolina team looks like in this tournament. I wouldn't be totally surprised if they beat Arkansas. And I don't know how you guys feel, but you know, South Carolina finishes dead last, but they were competitive in a lot of games. And granted, many of those games were at home, but on a neutral floor with the, I mean, like if you're the coaching staff, you're Lamont and those guys, you're like, hey, you know what, guys? We come out here and go on a 5-game winning streak. We can go to the tournament. Now we just got to focus on beating Arkansas. And then there's a really good Ole Miss team kind of lingering behind over there. But you know, those are winnable games. You may not be able to get through Auburn, though. But if you're Lamont, you can't think that way. So let's go beat Arkansas and see what happens. Game number 2 on Wednesday is Texas and Vanderbilt. That could prove to be a very good game. I know many of you will just be locked in watching all the action. That could be a very entertaining game. And, of course, State and LSU, game number 3, currently scheduled to tip at 6, provided there's no overtime in the earlier games that should be on schedule. And then game 4, the nightcap, Oklahoma and Georgia. So, you know, we win that game, we get Missouri on our neutral floor. I'd like to get another crack at those guys, but they've played some good basketball. That's fair. But when you start looking ahead here and thinking about our bracket, I think actually we're in a pretty good spot, to be honest with you. I think if you find a way to get through the first couple of games, I think you feel great about your NCAA tournament seeding. But then you start thinking about, hey, we wouldn't face Alabama until the semifinals and then wouldn't face Auburn into the finals if we were fortunate enough to go. Of course, there's a really good Florida team sitting right there with a double bye waiting for us. But a lot of basketball to be played before we get there. Let's take a quick look at LSU and kind of see what's happened. It hadn't been that long ago that we played them, but let's take a look and see how they finished up. You know, I think this is a game that State just absolutely should win, and we certainly need to win. I don't think it's going to keep us out of the tournament, but if we want to improve our standing, a quick exit from Nashville is not the way to get that thing done. I think we all agree with that. It's not some hot take out there. We're in, but to improve our standing, we need to win a game or two. So Bulldogs win by 12 over LSU back in Humphrey Coliseum. You remember LSU got off to a good start against us. Then they go to Rupp and they lose 95-64. At home against A&M, they lose by 14. And so they've lost, when you go back now, they've lost five games in a row, dating back to the February 22nd game in the PMAC against Florida. But to be fair, you know, they have played five consecutive ranked opponents and lost to all of them. So, a game we got to have, as you guys are well aware, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We got to find a way to make this thing happen. And I think the most important game, arguably, obviously is not just the next one, but I think when you think about, you know, how much more can we improve our seeding? Probably not a whole lot, but we could certainly put ourselves in a bad spot by losing this game. I think you beat LSU, and I think you're probably as far as you can go short of winning the SEC tournament. And I don't think we're capable of doing that, you know, especially with Alabama on our side of the bracket. But, you know, looking at some things, too, to kind of let's take off the rosy hue a little bit and kind of be honest about this Mississippi State men's basketball team. And, you know, Chris Jan says, you know, hey, we're going to be ready for this. And, you know, guys, I mean, let's just kind of count it back now. Like, you lose to Arkansas, you lose to Texas, you get the win over LSU, you lose at Alabama, you lose at Oklahoma. So you've lost four of your last five. That's not great. Four of the last five. That's not a ringing endorsement for this team. Not to say that we're not worthy of getting a tournament, considering how great the league is this year, but we're not exactly putting an exclamation point on our postseason resume. We're kind of leaving a question mark there. And I think that's the important aspect of all of this, is we need to pick up a win or two and kind of show them that we're playing well. Because it's not like we can say, well, we've been without one of our better players for the last month, but we'll have him back for the tournament. For the most part, we have been at full strength during this stretch. We just haven't won enough ball games. And again, I think it's not lost on me to make the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row. But again, I go back to it. I think this team is slightly underachieved. But every season is judged on basically how it ends. And there's a reason we have a tournament, right? And you get into the tournament, it's not a matter of opinion. You control your own destiny. You don't control the matchup. But once you're on the floor, it's all about you putting the ball in the basket. I still believe in Chris Jans. I think maybe we need to look at maybe adding an assistant that is probably a little more skilled with the offensive side of things. Even though defense has kind of been our calling card this year, it's kind of been an outlier in that respect. We haven't been nearly as good defensively as we have been in the first 2 years with Chris Jans at the helm. But I still believe in this team, and I still believe with the right matchups, we can get out of the first weekend. I think that's probably our ceiling, but I think we're certainly good enough to go win a first-round game. And felt that a few years ago, too, when we lost to Liberty. And we had a great chance that week, that year, to get into the Sweet 16. I think we all agree it's a missed opportunity for us. But all we can focus on is what we are now. And we're a team right now that's a couple of baskets, a couple of stops away from being able to play with anybody. And we've kind of proven we can play with just about anybody. We haven't proven that we can beat just about anybody. But my hope is this brutal SEC schedule this year has prepared us for the NCAA tournament well. And I don't think it's a situation where this team will just kind of have a sigh of relief saying, okay, we made the tournament. For most of these guys, that has been the expectation. Not just to make the tournament, but to get in the tournament and go win a game or two. So, you know, for some of these guys, they've never known a season that ended in the NIT or a season that ended with no postgame. So it's not like there's just, you know, this big crescendo. Hey, we made the tournament. Let's go. Everything from here on out is a bonus. I don't think this team sees it that way. I think they're a lot hungrier than that. And I think that's important to kind of understand. This is a team like Josh Hubbard has never known a season where he didn't go to the NCAA tournament. And so that's, again, that becomes your expectation. Hey, it's not just enough to make the tournament because that's now expected here. We got to go win some games. We got to go hang some banners. That's an important aspect of this. And so I do think this team on its good days can play with anybody. And when we get enough stops, then we got a chance to beat almost anybody. There's some matchups out there we clearly want to avoid, But I think we are better than our record indicates. But the reality of it is the NCAA selection committee is only going to value what we've done, not what we should have done. As V says in V for Vendetta, I've not come for what you wish to do, I've come for what you've done, right? That's, you know, profound words for living right there. So we'll see what happens. But again, another chance to keep playing, doing some special things. And I think all of you probably see it the way that I do. This team has the ability to play into this tournament and make things awfully interesting. I truly believe that. I don't think this is a team that is going to be in any way intimidated in the NCAA tournament. And I think a lot of that, too, is because we have played so many true national championship or Sweet 16 quality contenders in our conference slate. So I think we'll be war ready, and I think we'll be ready to go. And I think this week is going to be a lot of fun, the SEC tournament. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle if you're bringing a large group of people to town. I would encourage you to give the fine folks at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse your business. Bulldogs through and through, for sure. Guys, it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So whether it's a ball game weekend or just a weekend with friends and family, you're just 5 minutes away from campus. And from all the fun in Starkville, whether it be baseball, softball, basketball, football, or just a chance to get to your favorite town and enjoy your favorite restaurants and all your favorite shops, you can make it a college roommates weekend reunion. Six bedrooms, soon to be three baths, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back patio area, a huge back porch back there, the fire pit area. But the thing that we liked the most about it was just having plenty of room to spread out, whether it be in the kitchen, dining area, or the living room, and just enjoy being together. We say it all the time, we don't get together enough. You be the linchpin in your friend group or family group and begin making the plans. Contact the fine folks at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, check out availability, and then go back to those people you care the most about and say, hey, here's what we're planning. And maybe you guys can kind of split the expense. I don't know. Or maybe you can big time everybody and you just pay for it. How good would it be to have everybody under one roof rather than have people in five and six hotel rooms or Airbnbs scattered all over the Golden Triangle? You know as well as I do, after you watch that game, you want to go home and watch it again. You want to sit around and compare notes. Or maybe it's a baby shower weekend. Maybe it's a bachelorette party. We don't want you getting too crazy. But not a lot of neighbors out there, so you're going to have some peace and quiet. Out past the Highlands, just one really close neighbor. So we don't want you throwing a rager, but you can get some peace and quiet and have some privacy at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, we encourage you to Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can see all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, and also some booking options are going to pop up, including Airbnb and VRBO. You can go that route if you want to, but if you want to save some money, and I always do, book through the Evolve website and get promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, to get 10% off your stay. Saving money just by listening to this show. That's what we do. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. You may have heard there was a report earlier today from Jordan Schultz, NFL insider with Fox Sports, that Darius Slay had come to terms with the Pittsburgh Steelers. As a Steelers fan, this would delight me. However, late this evening, a report that there's no deal yet. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles released him, or at least that was the talk, and now there's talk the Eagles may try to keep him at a reduced salary. Now, Slay has been in the league forever, man. I mean, this is a guy that has done a lot of good stuff, man. You know, wins the Super Bowl last year. There's some discussion that he may be a guy that could be a Hall of Famer someday. That's pretty crazy, too, to think about that. And to think that we had Darius Slay, a guy that has spent a lot of time in the National Football League, and also opposite him during his time at Mississippi State was a Jim Thorpe Award winner, Jonathan Banks. That's pretty incredible, too. So I share that because we'd love to see this happen, but it's big news, obviously. Huge news. People forget Slay was the second round pick way back in 2013. This guy's played a lot of football, man. A ton of football. And one of the most seasoned Mississippi State players in the history of the National Football League. It's incredible to think about this, guys. 619 combined tackles. 516 of them are solo. 28 picks, 160 passes deflected. Pretty incredible. Yeah, pretty incredible stuff, man. It really is. And, of course, you know, wins Super Bowl this year. So, big play, Slay, still out there. Sounds like he'll wind up somewhere in Pennsylvania. We hope, selfishly, it's the Steelers. Also, the Steelers in talks with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, they let Justin Fields walk to the Jets. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. Of course, they also pick up DK Metcalf. You know, so I'm trying to get back to the playoffs. But I'd love for Darius Slay to be there, too. You know, the Steelers obviously have maybe not lived up to expectations in recent years. And to be honest with you, the Mike Tomlin era started off great, but it's been pretty mediocre in recent years. I'm still a Tomlin fan, but we've got to do some better things on the general manager side. And it appears that we're doing some, you know, again, I'm a Steelers guy. So that's the latest. Also, too, by the time this show is over and you listen to it and you get to this point in the show, you'll have the final with Mississippi State softball. Now, it's almost over, but it's a 21, excuse me, it is a 7-4 lead for Mississippi State at this point. Yeah, so it's a couple innings away from a sweep, you know, and I hope I'm not jinxing it by calling it now, but again, you've already won the series, and you start thinking about, hey, the possibility of sweeping Auburn, a nationally ranked team. State was 21, they were 18. So certainly in the new polls, keep things going. Got a good chance to do some pretty special things. And Coach Ricketts, I mean, again, we talk about hires and things of that nature. You know, when we decided to hire her, some people were like, well, you know, I don't know. And then what does she do? You know, we host a Super Regional for the first time ever. It didn't work out for us. But last 2 years, including this one, this team's been really good. So hopefully the Bulldogs can hang on here. A little thin on pitching after a very emotional weekend, but hopefully we can close this thing out. Again, we're happy to win the series. Would be thrilled to sweep the series. Want to look ahead too, you know, while we're here together, and kind of look at the SEC baseball schedule. I think that's an important aspect of things too. Interesting week this week, as everybody's kind of getting ready to go play SEC baseball. And we'll preview the weekend on Friday. But real quickly, we'll take a quick look through the standings right now. Tennessee 16-0, Georgia 18-0, Alabama and LSU both 16-1. LSU, your current number one team in the country. Arkansas 15-1, Oklahoma and Ole Miss both 14-1, Texas 13-1. They'll be here this weekend. Florida 15-2, Kentucky 12-2. Of course, they had some games canceled earlier in the year. South Carolina 14-3, Auburn 13-3. I told you guys I thought Auburn may surprise some people. I'm curious to see if things hold up for them offensively in SEC play. Vanderbilt's 13-3. Then there's your Bulldogs 11-4, and behind us Texas A&M 9-6. Did you expect that? Played for an AFL championship last year and pretty much returned everybody but Braden Montgomery. They're 9-6. And, of course, Missouri now 8-8. They're going to be lucky to win six SEC games. Truly. They split over the weekend with Binghamton. Crazy, man. All right, so looking at Tuesday night, East Tennessee State will be at Georgia. University of West Georgia at Tennessee. Ole Miss is at South Alabama. Valpo is at Vandy. And then a big one. And these have typically gone the way of Florida State recently. Florida is at Florida State. That'll be a 5 p.m. first pitch. Northern Illinois is at Kentucky. Alabama is at UAB. You know, UAB, Casey Dunn, you know, could be a solid mid-major. Central Arkansas is at Arkansas. Of course, Old Dominion at State. UT Martin is at Auburn. Prairie View is at A&M. Should be a win for A&M. They certainly need some. Texas Arlington is at Texas. Xavier is at LSU. Wednesday, and again, we'll probably record your Wednesday show Wednesday night. Another busy night in the league is Nicholls State and State play in Biloxi. Georgia State at South Carolina. Louisiana Tech at Oklahoma. That could be an interesting game. And then next thing you know, we're into the weekend. And we'll preview the weekend on Friday's show. But, yeah, it's everybody has a pretty good idea of what they think they have, but nobody really knows for sure how their pitching is going to hold up until they get into SEC play. And that includes Mississippi State, even though our numbers have been really good. As I shared with you guys, I ran some numbers yesterday in a free article. I'll give you a few of them. ERA last year was 3.59. It's better this year. Maybe you've not kept up. But I'm going to pull them up for you right now. So you can sit here and wait with me. Yeah, were you guys inconvenienced by the outage on Twitter this morning? I was. Can we do so much business on Twitter? You know, it wasn't out for long. And, of course, you know, you find out how reliant you are on these things. I get all my news on Twitter. But the team ERA this year for Mississippi State is 2.81. Now, runs are down a little bit, but we've had some unearned runs. And that's the one area we got to pick it up is defensively. We got to be a little bit better defensively. This time last year, we had committed 10 errors. We've made 13 so far this year. And kind of the difference has been the pass balls, right? And sometimes, to be fair, the official scorer will go pass ball because all of a sudden the run becomes unearned. You know, so it's kind of a trick, you know, but it kind of keeps ERA down. But there's some of that to consider. But you may not know this. Last year, through 15 games, Mississippi State had only hit 10 home runs. We only had four players that had hit them, and Dakota Jordan had seven of the 10. Hunter Hines didn't hit home run number one until game 15, the middle game against Evansville. And that was a wall scraper, if there ever was one, from Hunter Hines. Bryce Chance hit one. Imani Larry hit one. This year, you've got eight guys that have hit home runs. Last year, you had four. You got eight so far this year that have accounted for 31 home runs. Much different offense this year. And a lot of pieces around Hunter Hines that I think can be really good. Let's take a look at the baseball statistics from around the conference really quick here in our final few minutes together. Important type stuff. Your Mississippi State Bulldogs now currently tied for fourth in the SEC in hitting. Tied with number one LSU. At 333. Florida just ahead of us at 336. Alabama's hitting 340. And a lot of that, too, is quality competition. And then Tennessee hitting 348. So, you know, within striking distance, and Tennessee's always going to have an opportunity to do some big things in that ballpark at Lindsey Nelson. But Tennessee also, ERA-wise, leading the conference at 1.83. Your Bulldogs, fourth. So we're fourth in hitting and fourth in pitching. And a team that finished fifth in the conference last year. And Tennessee, 1.83 with the ERA. Kentucky, 1.88. Texas is 2.77. Mississippi State, 2.81. Will be a very interesting weekend as the Bulldogs host Texas. Glad we're playing it here and glad we're getting them early. Yeah, I think that's an important aspect of it. But always, always, always important. You know, everybody talks about how bad our defense is. Right now, we're just kind of middle of the pack in the SEC. Kind of how it is right now. But, you know, Texas A&M last in the SEC in fielding percentage. Isn't that crazy? It's pretty crazy. It truly is. I mean, Texas A&M was expected to kind of be the dream team this year. But Mike and those guys kind of having some trouble. You know, pitching's been good for the most part. But, 3.02 ERA. They're tied for fifth with LSU. But as I told you guys a couple weekends ago, after seeing Tennessee in person, and I know there's always this push for LSU. There always is. They're a media darling, but they've earned it, right? I'm not taking anything away from LSU. But I think what Tennessee has done so far has been a little more remarkable. And you say, but Steve, it's just one game difference. It is. But Tennessee leading the league in hitting and leading the league in ERA. I think they are the best team. They lost a lot of pieces, and we're going to find out a lot about them here in the days ahead. But we talk about the home run numbers, right? You know, where does that put us, right, Steve? Well, Tennessee's got 49 dingers. Georgia has 45, and both of them play you know, and launching pads, as does LSU for that matter. But at this point, LSU has 25 home runs. State has six more. Alabama has 35. Arkansas has 33. And then there's Ole Miss and Mississippi State right there at 31. So, again, top half of the league in power numbers. And I think that's, again, it's kind of the evidence that we're a much better and different club, I think, offensively. And as long as Justin Parker's our pitching coach, I always expect to be able to figure that out. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNibbleBook.com. You can order signed copies of The Dude. All my sports titles are there. That's Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile, and Every Bulldog Needs a Copy of Dog Pile, and When the Bottom Falls, a book about my recovery, and yeah, just a lot of things about my life. I think it's important for you to know, you know, that if you believe in an underdog story, it's probably the book for you. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can call my lovely wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601 to get more information. She is a registered nurse. You can book your appointment online if you want to, or you can just call her and she'll set you up right over the phone. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, or you just need a break, we may be able to help you. We've helped a lot of other people find, you know, a sense of relaxation. And sometimes for me, it's just kind of a centering, right? Kind of let my mind get clear of all the clutter in life. I'll be floating on Thursday as soon as I get back from Biloxi. Hey, until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.